drops, but it is omnipresent. Like in the avenues and the conversations that I've had with other White Sox fans about this, like this is the number one pressing issue with them. And I will say that as a fan base, we're kind of used to this, like, put upon existence. Like, what that's what it is, Dan. Like, that's what it is. For once, we were happy. Like, for once, yep. White Sox fans were like, man, sun's out and everything seems to be okay. And then, boom, nothing is right. Nothing is fine. I'm losing my mind. It just sucks. And that's what we're trying to get ourselves back to.
Speaking of boom, I should mention Tiger Woods is now 3 under par. He is tied for fourth with Louis Oosthuizen behind Webb Simpson and Lee Westwood, who are both at 5 under, Paul Casey at 4 under. But Tiger getting off to a start that is a material one, something to watch throughout your show and throughout the day on The Score.
I swear, you brought this up, and now that you put that thing in my brain, it's hard for me to let it go, where you talked about like how good Augusta looks. And obviously, it looks different because it's November and not springtime. And I'm looking at it because I just got a nice TV. And I put the Masters on, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this thing looks incredible. It's the best thing that I've had on the TV since I got the TV.
Yeah, and if you get the natural sound now without the crowds, there's something that's very, very different about it. But I will be fascinated to see. We're so used to the end of day spring light, and the autumn light's so different.
I thought about that too.
We're going to see, they're going to have the irises on those cameras absolutely full open near the end of some of these rounds. And I'm going to be fascinated to see this tableau. It's like Monet's haystacks, right? Where Claude Monet painted the very same haystacks in different seasons with different light hitting them, with snow on them or, you know, bright sunlight in spring and all that. I'm thinking of this as sort of an artwork when we start watching it later on in the evening.
Yeah, I kept thinking about that, where you're used to the day stretching at Augusta for a long time, and you're obviously not going to have that now because of the time of the year. But I was blown away because initially you see like the storm that was going through there. And then when I turned the TV on, it was sunny. I was like, oh my God, like, yeah, let's see what happens today. So I don't know how much Masters I'm going to talk about, but I did, when I turned on the TV, I thought of you, Dan Bernstein. I thought of you, you painting the picture of the picture that is painted at Augusta.
I'll get out of your way. Let you know tomorrow, Anthony Heron is going to be with us for the 10 o'clock hour. Matt Miller will talk more football, and we're hoping to track down Cody Decker to get his thoughts about the White Sox new pitching coach. That is all tomorrow. Lawrence, all you.
Thank you, Dan. Herbie, let's ride.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I'm just not a Trevor Bauer guy. I'm not about a guy who goes out there and campaigns because, hey, you know, my free agency, I'll see whichever fan base follows me the most on social media. That's maybe where I'll make my decision. Come on, man. That's whack. What are we doing here? Were we letting social media fan bases determine where you pitch and what team you pitch for and your postseason success or lack thereof? I mean, I like what Trevor Bauer does on the hill, but I feel like there's just so many outside distractions with him. So if it's not you, Dodger, taking home the Cy Young Award, please let it be Jacob DeGrom. I'm sorry.
I don't think you're going to get your wish, man. I think it's going to be Trevor Bauer. His numbers are just overwhelming.
Yeah, that's all well and good, but I mean, maybe he can help a lot of teams win, but I don't know. When you see him yelling at Joey Votto, a guy who's a staple in the Cincinnati Reds organization, and just going back and forth, and just his chippy nature, he always wants to get into something on social media. It's like, there's some time and a place, man. Let's be age appropriate. Let's grow up a little bit. Trevor Bauer being a little too old to be on social media doing all that chirping. It's like Rick James or Charlie Murphy taking karate class. It's like, hey, Charlie Murphy, a little old to take karate with them kids.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Man, Cole was out here hating yesterday on the National League Cy Young Award winner. Just hating. I mean, I think I understand where that comes from, because the guys on the Cubs who are not named Yu Darvish don't like Trevor Bauer either. Kirby, do you remember when we had asked David Ross about that and he just kind of sidestepped it? Because that's what he did. He's like, yeah, that guy. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a lot of stuff that's going on today's show. Our buddy Dan Durkin will join us in the next segment. I am very much looking forward to talking with Dan. I want to get his breakdown of what he saw against the Titans, and I want to see what he thinks. Are the Vikings a better team than what they were a few weeks ago? And we'll go through some of the stuff with Dalvin Cook and how good he's been. But I think that it's encouraging. That's right. I think that it's encouraging that the Bears slowed down Derrick Henry. So I'll get him to compare and contrast the two guys. Jason Leisure texted me earlier today and said that he has some very pressing questions for me for his segment at 1 o'clock, which I think that he wants to make fun today, because it was not fun, or not as much fun as we usually have when we're together. So he's got some questions for me coming up at 1 o'clock. In between that, I dispatched Herbie this morning. I was like, can you find Campy? I mean, I saw him. We had like a station-wide like meeting today, and I saw him in the Zoom with his goatee. But I said, I want to talk with him, because there's been a lot of speculative discussion on Russell Westbrook and whether or not he would make a good move for the Bulls to trade for, even with all of that money that's left on his contract. And Darnell Mayberry wrote a piece on The Athletic this morning that I retweeted, and I thought that he did a good job of weighing the pros and the cons of what it would take and what it would mean if Russ was a White Sox. As I'm looking at a White Sox store, a Bull. It's interesting. It actually spurred another Bulls thought that I want to run by Campy. And it's so weird. I wasn't planning on starting here, but since I've already walked into it, let me continue to start here. And then I'll get to the statement on Tony La Russa. It's very short, so it won't take a lot of time. I have been in this place over the last... It started for me on Sunday when people started talking about the NBA draft, and they started talking about what the Bulls and with their fourth pick. And, you know, I'm a big Obi Toppin fan, and I've been talking about Obi Toppin as a guy that I would hope would still be there at 7, because the Bulls kind of always ended up drafting 7th, and he's not. But he should be there at 4 where the Bulls draft, and I think that he'd be a good pick and a good player for years and years and years. But what occurred to me is I'm watching all of these retrospectives about the NBA season, and particularly the NBA playoffs. Like, we all knew that the Bulls weren't going to be a part of that whole deal, but it's felt like they haven't been a part of the NBA. It's felt as if the NBA took the Bulls and threw them on an island. And they're like, yeah, we know that you're the third biggest market in the league and all, but your team's not good. And then you had all of this stuff happen with the Bulls. And I guess that we can look at it as a testament of progress with the Bulls that we haven't thought about them. And here's what I mean. I know that may sound flippant, but here's what I mean. In years past, we were not thinking about them for another reason. We weren't thinking about the Bulls because we felt like there was no way that they were going to be able to dig themselves out of the hole that they had dug over the last 5 to 7 years. That is just going to be a re-rack, and we're just going to see guard packs go out there and destroy everything. It's amazing to me. I do think that public pressure helped move this process along. When you had the Bulls being embarrassed on All-Star Weekend on ESPN, on their highest rated non-sports show, where you had fans chanting while here in Chicago on Navy Pier, chanting for those guys to be fired. The reason that we didn't care about the Bulls and weren't worried about what was going on with the Bulls before was we had seen the movie before. And we were like, oh, yeah, that's great. You're going to tell me more about Lauri Markkanen? Okay, it's fine. You still have a buffoon coaching your team? Okay, cool. Is there anything that I should invest in as a fan of the Bulls? No? Terrific. That's why they had escaped our mind. If I could add this supposition, I think that the reason now that they're not top of mind is because we're like, oh, they're actually run by competent human beings. Not a lot to really worry. Like, you went through, you went through hiring a new basketball chief. You went through hiring a new GM. You went through hiring a coach. And all of us kind of went, yeah, that seems to make sense, what the Bulls finally did. So they haven't been top of mind because now you feel like, all right, let's give these new guys an opportunity to do whatever it is that they're getting ready to do. Let's do that. But it struck me, like, I'm watching highlights of Luka hitting last minute shots, and you're watching Dame early on in that process, and everyone like fighting to get into the playoffs, and then the playoffs themselves were really intriguing, except for what one series, two series where it was 3-0 or 3-1. And then you get to the end of it with LeBron and them being as successful as the NHL was. You had those two leagues say, okay, we don't have to rush out here because we're just finishing our season instead of starting our season. Let's get this safety aspect of the game right. So the NHL and the NBA put themselves in bubbles. The bubbles work. They work more effectively than I think anyone ever thought. I know that I was very skeptical. I was like, there's no way that they're going to be able to house up these dudes for 4 months and there's not going to be like a serious incident. And every time that there was a possibility of an incident, whether a dude wanted to go to a strip club for wings or a guy wanted to step over the line for his Postmates or someone was sneaking in with a pass, they handled it immediately and had no infection rate. And it was great. And as I'm watching this celebration and us talk about, I was like, oh, yeah, the draft is next week. The NBA draft. Like, the Bulls are back on the clock. And then when people speculating with Russ, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Bulls, they're a basketball team in the NBA. I forgot all about them. And now you can start thinking about what happens next with the Bulls. And I am going to allow myself to be optimistic about it. I'm not expecting the Bulls to go out here and win. So wait, if we talk, we're talking a 72-game season. I'm not asking the Bulls to come out here and win 35 games this season. I'm just happy that there is a new exciting direction for the Chicago Bulls with guys who are in their element right now, that are in the game right now, that they seem to have had success, you know, recently. And now we can start doing speculative stuff with them and say, well, does this make sense for them to even talk about trading for Russell Westbrook? And who would you trade? The Bulls are back, baby! They're back! Okay, so they're not, like, back, but they're back to closely being top of mind, kind of. All right, I'll ask Campy about that at 12:40. But I wonder if you had the same feelings that I had. And you can just text me and let me know, because we're going to move on to some other stuff. 312-644-6767. It felt like they weren't even a part of the league. And now you're like, oh, yeah, they're back. Meanwhile, there is news on the other team that Jerry Reinsdorf owns. Here is a statement from your Chicago White Sox that they put out this morning about Tony La Russa. Quote, as Tony La Russa's attorney said in his statement, Tony deserves all the assumptions and protections granted to everyone in a court of law, especially while this is a pending matter. Once his case reaches resolution in the courts, we will have more to say. The White Sox understand the seriousness of these charges. Close quote. If your statement as a team starts with a lawyer's statement, I don't think that the statement is as effective as you may want it to be. I still hold on to my conspiracy theory. This is wild speculation for me, that the calls are coming from inside the house. I have nothing to base this on. Not a thing. But I keep wondering, how did everyone start to get some of this information? And I keep wondering if someone in the house may have pointed people in the right direction to get it. Because I can tell you that there are plenty of people over there that are not happy with this decision. And since they've been irresponsible, allow me to be irresponsible too. Just wonder. Intriguing ideas. All right, enough of that. You want to talk football? I mean, I know that's kind of depressing too, but I would like to talk football. Dan Durkin does as good a job as anybody when it comes to breaking down tape. He's going to tell you what's wrong with the Bears and whether or not it can be fixed before Monday. I know I'm tasking him with a lot, but I trust him, and he's good at what he does. He's a good man and thorough. We will talk with him next here on The Score.
Danny Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
When do the Bears get their Tua? When do the Bears get their Kyler Murray? When do the Bears get their Joe Burrow? Forget Lamar Jackson or Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. Can they just have representative, modern NFL offense? All we get is dysfunction and wasted seasons.
Listen to Danny Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. A radio.com sports station.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. I'm fully aware of how bad I was at sports growing up, so I'm always in awe of elite athletes. How are they so good at something so hard? But when you add in that these elite athletes are also teenagers, awe becomes insufficient. 17-year-old Gio Reyna is expected to make his U.S. men's soccer debut this afternoon in a friendly in Wales because he's been playing so well in Germany against men while being just 17. And then there's AZ Fudd, the consensus number one women's basketball recruit, committed to UConn yesterday. Her first scholarship offer came in middle school. As a high school sophomore, Fudd became the youngest to win National Player of the Year honors. And now she's primed to be Gino Auriemma's next star. Can a grown man be jealous of teenagers? Because I am. I'm Andrew Bogish.
This weekend, visit JCPenney for TGI Black Friday. Get the same Black Friday prices just earlier on thousands of new deals before they're gone. Score the absolute best savings with this week's extra 30% off coupon. Use it to get select men's St. John's Bay sweaters for 60% off. Or shop now to reserve your fine jewelry to get Black Friday prices up to 80% off before the rush. Joy, comfort, peace. JCPenney. Offers valid 11/13 to 11/15. Conditions and exclusions apply. Pick up reserve fine jewelry on or after 11/20. See store or jcp.com for details.
All football point spread bettors, please listen to me closely. This is Michael Westwood, owner of GBIWins.com in New York. And guys, I've established tremendous information, not only on tonight's Tennessee-Indianapolis matchup, but also on the over-under. Guys, the point spread right now is 2, and the over-under is 48.5. Do yourself a favor. Today is a gift from me to you. All you have to do is dial 1-800-885-2525. That's 1-800 885-2525. You'll be connected to my free recorded comp line. You'll get the winner not only of tonight's Indy Tennessee battle, but also on the over-under. Guys, information makes people money. I've been in the sports handicapping world for 36 years. Tonight is tremendous. It's free. It's on me, and it's on my free recorded comp line. Call me now, 1-800-885-2525, and be a winner.
So, question, how far would you go for a friend? A ride to the airport? Half your sandwich?